Dark wings.
Dork words.
The Game of Thrones podcast.
Season 2, episode 6.
The old gods and the new. Welcome back, everyone, podcast fans around the world, international. Shout out to the UK, Canada, Spain,
International House of Podcasts,
Korea,
Samoan girls,
North Korea. That is. We don't like South Korea. We're sorry.
Big. Well, I'm listing off some of the countries where
we're big in the NK.
Internet bots have hit our feed. If you know what I mean. I'm your host, Chuck Davis, and with me this week are...
Craig McCallie.
Mike Hergert.
Phil Jonak.
Thank you for finally using your real voice.
Why don't you go fetch me that pack of smokes, honey?
I'd love to, but we've already started recording the podcast.
Okay.
Again, with the novelty voice. I guess it is easier on the ears.
Than a normal voice.
That's right.
Pretty...
Episode 6, they're really going off book. They're going off the rails. They're going rogue.
They're jumping the shark, as they say.
Hopefully not.
Jumping someone else's train.
Jumping someone else's litter, which was the bisyllabic word that we couldn't remember the entire episode last week.
I think we've jumped enough other words by now.
Well, jumping other words.
Jeez.
Yeah, we collectively drew a blank on the concept of being carried in a litter. What else did I draw a blank on last week? This can be a new feature. Just like
what did we screw up last week?
Like publishing corrections in the newspaper.
Errata.
Errata. Erotic.
Stat boy.
Eroticism.
Erotic errata.
I don't think we hit those every episode, so
that should be like a Jay Leno thing. Instead of showing the like headlines. Ads in the paper that are fucked up, he shows
erotic.
Yeah,
I would love to watch Jay Leno do that. It would turn me on.
Is he still on TV? I don't even know.
It's best if we don't find out.
Yeah. Let's get to the episode.
All right then. One thing I discovered in my extensive internet research over the course of the past week is that the scenes north of the wall have been filmed on location in Iceland, hence the severe disappearance of all the trees.
And no trees.
So that was one question we had not too long ago. And that's all. So everything else was
nicely
perfect.
Done.
All right, so we were thrust into the action with Maester Luwin frantically trying to send off a raven with a message as the Ironborn sailors under Theon's command.
All like 10 guys who were in the boat from the previous episode.
I liked the scene where Theon woke Bran and explained to him that he'd taken his castle, and Bran was groggily not grasping the situation.
Like,
and Theon's explanation wasn't really making any sense for multiple reasons.
They're both new at this.
Yeah.
New at being besieged and sieging.
But Theon explaining, like, I scaled your walls with grappling hooks, I might have preferred to see a little action rather than just...
Of them actually doing it?
Yeah. I mean, I understand budgetary constraints and whatnot, but I guess it's a pretty clever way.
But
Bran, you should have just totally seen the action sequence that you slept through. It was intense.
Way to go, little kind of half ex brother.
We made these grappling hooks out of trees and scaled right over the
and all
the
10 wall. Guys just came right over the wall.
Yeah. They all hated me last episode, but we're buddies now.
Well, things at sea happen, you know.
He earned their respect by beheading Roderick Castle.
You know whose respect he earned?
Finchy.
We discovered that Theon's first mate on the Sea Bitch is Finchy from the BBC Office.
Yep.
So.
But a good salesman.
Hell of a salesman.
Yep.
What else? Let's drink to Finchy. Well.
Da Vinci.
Fucking Brits, man.
Leonardo da Vinci.
So the conversation in the bedroom, the initial one. I mean, all that advice that Theon gives Bran. It's kind of Maester Luwin, I think, originally gives that to him in the book.
Well, he knows to sort of frame his advice to Bran in the form of that's what a good lord would do. Up until Theon had to behead Roderick, you're kind of on the fence about just how ruthless and savage he's going to be. I feel like that is Bran's best scene in the series to date, is him.
I really like when he said
begging for, like, Roderick's life in the yard.
I think the best line was when he said, "Did you always hate us?" Theon, when he's walking out of the room, and
Theon says, like, "Think hard about the next words that you say," or something like that, and he blindsides him with some tough ones.
It's good. There were a couple emotional situations this week.
I was choked up, man, hearing Bran, like, crying out and seeing Rickon's
pretty convincing, yeah.
Face. That was an intense scene for sure.
And it was drawn out because, you know, Theon doesn't have a strong enough arm to behead a person. So.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have a heavy enough sword, I think.
I'm glad they included that. I think that's kind of a feature from the book, too, is it just kind of rubs it in that he doesn't know what he's doing and he's not really coming off as the way he imagined he would. And
did he actually behead Sir Roderick in the book?
I want to say yes.
Yeah, but it takes four swings like it did with this. He couldn't He couldn't get it through. If I recall, you know what?
I was thinking for some reason that he didn't do it at all.
Here's something, listeners.
And he got pitched out because he wasn't the guy who swung the sword.
Well, I know the concept of someone not cleanly beheading someone is from the books, but I'm not remembering who was beheading who and why.
So many beheadings.
So many beheadings.
I've decided that time. I'm going to nip my historical inaccuracies in the bud and go to towerofthehand.com and read all the chapter synopses from entire book. So starting next week, I'm going to stop being full of shit. It's going to be awesome.
Craig will be a font of knowledge starting with episode 7.
he won't even need to watch the episodes, I don't think. No reason. He'll just know what happens.
He'll just know.
Yeah, that's a good website. I was glancing over the brief synopses, descriptions of each of the chapters from A Clash of Kings. And I think, Craig, you noted how much they've sort of jumped around in the order of events.
They do. And was it Mike or you that said it's more of a character-based retelling of the story on TV? Because you can't jump around. I mean, we figured there's about seven chapters per episode. And if you hit all those, you're going to have an unbelievably fragmented episode.
The fundamental framing device of the books, which is to switch the POV from one character to the next, from one chapter to the next, is out the window and has been from the very beginning. So, you know, we're seeing things that no POV characters would have seen, and putting two characters together that never met each other in the series. You know, Arya never spent any time up close and personal with Lord Tywin.
Yeah.
But they get a lot of FaceTime this week. And they have a whole several invented scenes.
Which I think were pretty good. I don't have any real problem with any of those.
No, yeah. I mean, I've fully accepted how much they're changing things.
The movie version, as it would be, of the
It of is. The book. I can't help but think about all the stuff that's fallen by the wayside. But at the same time, this episode, more than any other one I can remember, I'm genuinely perplexed what's going to happen next, because they've diverted from the path of the books in so many ways. I mean, I know they're still going to hit all the same major plot points, but some plot points that I thought were major have been skipped. So,
and some that were not, didn't exist, are now in the mix.
I think some of that's just for a little more suspense as to, you know, some of the events that are going to happen upcoming.
That could be. I mean, we know of some battles that are going to occur and some aspects of those battles that will be different. What is up with Jane Westerling's name being completely different for no reason?
Yeah, different character. Makes me wonder if she's going to be a, what do you call it, an amalgam? What do you call it?
Amalgamation?
A composite character of someone else. But, I mean, I guess not. She's just... What was their beef, I wonder, with leaving her the way she was?
Yeah, no idea. I really don't. I mean, unless it's kind of a thing like, you know, they decided Peter Jackson and Fran Walsh and Philippa Boyens, the screenwriters of Lord of the Rings, when they were adapting that from the books... They did things like they beefed up Arwen's character so that they had a stronger love interest for Aragorn, give her some more screen time. You know, like after Frodo gets stabbed by the Nazgul on what's it called? Hilltop? Or not Hilltop?
Weathertop?
Weathertop.
I was there. I was at that site.
Oh, that's right. You've been to New Zealand.
Mike, The thing we're talking about was a fictional book. I'm not sure if you couldn't have been there. It's not real. Oh, you mean the place where they filmed it?
Mm. Right.
Okay.
Did you make the same mistake that Merry and Pippin made and light a campfire?
Yep.
I knew it.
And he paid the price.
I got stabbed.
The iron price.
So did Arwen carry you back to Rivendell on horseback?
Mike said she was too fat.
When she
two out of ten.
When she did, he thought he had strayed into a dream.
So that in Lord of the Rings, that wasn't Arwen that did that. So perhaps, or maybe it's a thing like modern adaptations have to, or feel that they have to modernize some of the female roles so that they're not just helpless damsels in distress.
It could be pandering, alienating to a lot of the audience. There's some tough bitches in the series.
Well, that's
man.
Just, yeah, I don't think that's the case because there's plenty of strong ladies going on in this show.
Well, so, refer to them as bitches.
I meant strong ladies. No, it's like, you know, bad bitches. Like, it's not insulting. It's something they would say.
Yeah. I can just hear Brienne now describing herself that way. I'm one bad bitch, and I don't take no shit from no pussy-ass Kingslayer.
From no Mama Jamma.
But I think with whatever her name is, you know, the composite Jane Westerling, I think...
She's not a composite, though. There's no other female character for her to be blended
whatever,
with.
What's
not
her name?
Not even on the whole battlefield.
What's her name? Like Tyosha? Tyresha?
Something long and complicated.
I don't know. But... I mean, I think he's already found out that she's kind of like lying to him about other stuff. So I think he's just going to find out, maybe.
Mom was right on it. Like, hey, you know, you're going to get married to someone else. So don't be falling in love or anything stupid.
I think he might just find out, you know, she was lying about her name, too.
I just think they've mishandled that whole... I mean, in the books, well, I guess...
You don't even hear shit about it in the books.
Avoid spoilers... There's no reason for us to be up in arms about anything because Rob just met some chick, whatever.
We don't know,
right?
He's sworn to marry one of Walder Frey's daughters, and that's what's going to happen. Seriously, that's what might happen.
It seriously could happen.
It probably will happen, and they'll have so many kids, and they'll be happy forever.
But what about movie magic? I saw it in their eyes.
Well, maybe she is Lord Walder Frey's daughter, and she's disguised herself as a girl from Volantis because she told her father, I won't marry anyone that I don't love. And he said, then go to him. Now that, and be his field surgeon.
That is movie magic.
And once you look into his eyes, I know you'll feel the way that I do.
Over an amputation.
And then Brienne rushes out and pledges fealty to him.
She's the Hot Lips of
and her.
Of Game of Thrones.
Brienne can't wait to swear fealty. So she probably will get there first.
Somebody else that did a funny reaction to the show wrote something real similar after I'd said that last weekend. It made me feel good because I thought I was on target for something.
Someone's written a comment on the site?
No, not on our site. No. No one's listening.
Okay.
Comments apparently just, don't work just DJ. On our website.
We should fix that.
No, they work.
No, you...
I mean, I don't know.
Someone told me they tried to
I've been told also that it's difficult to post comments
my
to
comments
darkwings, darkwords.com.
You've been banned.
No, I opted not to approve your comment because it was just, hey, is this thing working?
Are you afraid that if we open comments up that it's going to be like a www.cheapviagra.com?
I'm not worried about that at all. Something. I just wanted, I was excited.
Wait, there's Cheap Viagra?
Yeah, just go to our website. We'll go through the comments. No, because I get alerted. I get an email notification prompting me to approve messages, and that's how I know that there's a new message.
So
there.
It's a power thing.
It is. It's my...
He has a God complex.
It's my God complex.
And I'll cry if I want to.
So there's some dudes walking around in Iceland right now. I mean, no big deal.
Yeah, what about Corin Halfhand's pep talk for Jon Snow?
His bullshit words that he doesn't even believe himself.
He's just fucking with him, really, right?
Yeah.
And Jon Snow, is it me or is Jon Snow lacking this season? Or is, I suppose he's meant to.
He's not very up in arms or serious or
he's passionate about anything. Shat on by like everybody so far. It's like
he's about to get impassioned.
Craster beats his ass. He gets
more.
He gets told he's not even a good steward.
Ghost is like
the old bear.
I'm walking over him here. Out.
Ghost refuses to come into full view.
Ghost, come here.
Ghost, to me.
I'm just gonna chill up here, John. Sorry.
We ought to have been treated to an interesting conversation about skinwalking. Didn't happen.
Is that as hot as it sounds?
It depends on if you're a furry or not.
Yeah.
Well, but okay, so we did meet Ygritte.
Ygritte.
What did you guys think of Ygritte?
She's way hotter than the book describes her.
Fire kissed.
I'll tell you that.
She's lucky.
I think she was.
I think that's a good
she
cast.
She looks good for Ygritte.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
she doesn't look too good. Too great.
I mean, in the book, she's described as, you know, like, I thought her hair would be all freaking wild and mussed up and everything.
Have we even seen her hair?
Well, she didn't take her. She didn't let her hood down.
Yeah, she did.
And it was too well combed for your tastes.
I was expecting wild tangles.
Wildling, more like stylding.
Are we talking about pubic hair here?
Oh, what? No. Well, no.
Maybe. No.
We'll see.
What about... I was taken aback a little bit by the abruptness of the cut to... Corin and John about to get the drop on a few wildlings hanging around their camp.
Because they cut from which scene? The Tyrion scene?
Was it the delivering Myrcella to Dorne at the docks of King's Landing scene?
Right, yeah.
Is that what immediately preceded it?
I think so. After the Hound says, I didn't do it for you, and then I think it cuts right to that, right? I don't remember.
I'm not sure, but they did cut away from them walking in Iceland to something else.
And then just suddenly creeping.
Creeping on, I come up. I think that's a TLC reference. Yeah. Lisa Left Eye Lopez, I drink to you.
He's about to pour his drink on the floor if you could see this.
He's going to pour it on the laptop.
Somebody get a towel.
I mean, so...
So,
they sneak up.
They sneak up in the book. It's portrayed as they have to scale like a sheer cliff in the middle of the night before they get the drop on them. And in this, it looks like they were just walking on the ice in the previously scene, and they just walked up to the camp where they're just...
I'm sure a lot of this just ended up on the cutting room floor, just like filmed at least somewhat hastily, and then just like, God, we just don't have time.
Yeah, and I love the episode before, they're like, we have to move silently with a few men, and the whole way there, we see them, they're just gabbing around, talking their whole way up, and then they come up on some wildlings.
Yeah, that's almost what it felt like.
John's yelling for Ghost. Ghost, get up here. Come on.
Oh, shh. See right over there, about 10 feet ahead of you. Those wildlings.
They're awake.
They're not hiding during the day like I just described a few minutes ago. They're right there. And they have a... Did they have a fire?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we wouldn't want to start a fire. Cause
the fire just wasn't big enough for a signal.
It's still, I mean, the source material is strong. Any little quotes and details that they pull out... A lot of Ygritte was spot on, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Even Corrin Halfhand's whole sort of contrived, all right, fellows, let's just walk away and leave John. We're all perfectly sure he's going to kill this female wildling. You all saw how bad he wanted to kill her a minute ago, so now that we've finished interrogating her, let's let him get to his bloody work. And
we'll just go up to the top of the mountain. You just meet us there.
We'll just assume you'll catch up to us in like 10 seconds, because that's how long it's going to take you to stab her.
But we
won't turn around and look or wait for you.
That's how a pack travels, you know.
Are they like a wolf pack? They have a wolf.
They're wolf.
Only one.
They're lupine. Is that the right word?
It's a litter. A litter. A litter of wolves.
So I don't know what's going to happen there. I mean, they really kind of changed up the whole Ygritte John
deal. I don't know either.
I mean...
The way Ygritte is describing... The wildlings camp and the questions that Corrin Halfhand asked, those are all on target.
Yeah, but what happens after that with the potential killing and the little running off stuff is completely different from the book.
And the sexy time stuff.
The rubbing up on him.
Which,
was
that was pretty right funny.
I was pretty happy with that.
The rubbing?
The rubbing.
Okay.
The spooning.
Aye, there's a rub.
Aye.
There's a
rub. There's the rub.
And our first Shakespeare reference, folks. Pay attention for two more. There won't be any.
Somewhere there's a person.
I can squeeze a couple more in.
Somewhere there's a person with a tally sheet of our references, and they have a sniper rifle sitting right next to them. For real. They're going to kill us.
They have a view.
One more Skyrim reference, and they'll all die.
Keep to Game of Thrones, kids.
After school special, Mike.
Well, one thing, like we were talking about, things happening sort of out of order. Ygritte's out of order with the spooning and the rubbing,
and she's been relieved.
But has John been relieved?
John has not been relieved.
He really didn't want her to stop that wiggling.
He did. He told her twice.
Well, yeah, but come on.
But come on.
It's his vows versus his...
At least she didn't say...
I think an erection was implied by her smile. You guys don't think so?
Implied erection smile.
I don't know. I've never smiled at an erection before.
Oh, no. You.
Greg drops pants.
Nothing.
I'm not smiling. Put it up against my back.
It wasn't implied in the book. It was explied. It was explicitly stated. She's like, oh, I can tell you're happy about this.
Sure, that's explicit.
I'm reading the chapter synopses. I think I know.
The smile in Ygritte's face is all you need to know.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
All right. Did you think... Wait, which one? What scene is this?
The scene with Arya and...
No, it's not Tywin. That one. Yeah, is it?
All right.
Is it?
Yeah. Littlefinger.
Did you think he was going to finger her? I mean, pick her out of a lineup? No, I meant he's trying to do a play on his name and that didn't end up going well.
Yeah, did you think, say that about minors?
Did you think he was going to recognize her?
I didn't think he would because it would
really be fuck too, up way a lot too of stuff.
Disruptive.
Yeah, but
however,
who knows?
It, look it what plays, else they're doing. Plays into his knowledge, his power thing, you know. And
she's not even supposed to be there.
Not even supposed to be here today.
I mean, what's the next thing you're going to say? Of course, they'll never have them. What are they going to like steal the dragon eggs or something? Ridiculous. But then they do it.
Oh my god!
Way to spoil the second half of the podcast. Can we edit that out?
No, it's not.
That's, yeah, what the fuck was that all about?
Well.
What the fuck was that all about?
Yeah.
Things are going wonky in Karth in a big way. Daenerys, I mean, what was she getting all high and mighty at the Spice King or whatever his name is? Did they call him the Spice King?
Yeah, well. And she was talking about Copper Kings and.
Spice Prince.
Silver Kings? I don't know.
Yeah, but it's other, like each other, of the 13 has one
resource, king of one
commodity. One commodity that they're in charge of. Listen, lady. My business is I get the spices from one port and I bring them to the other port.
He really gives her the business. And just
and like we said the other week, that guy's either going to never do a Ren fair again or he's going to do every Ren fair again.
It's like George Costanza describing the importing-exporting business.
He's going to make $20 an autograph at a Ren fair, I think, from now on. So he'll be rolling in the money, I think.
Maybe he'll come to Omaha at the next
Free Comic Book Day.
Next Free Comic Book Day, exactly.
Who have we come had on the, out. Who have we had the last 2 years? Lou Ferrigno? Not Lou Ferrigno. Lou Ferrigno.
Lou
And then
one of the Baldwins.
No, he's not one of the Baldwins. He's
Adam Baldwin.
Adam Baldwin is not. If you look on the wiki, it says his whole thing, and then at the bottom there's one sentence that says Adam Baldwin is not one of the Baldwin brothers. Just, I think by itself,
by definition,
he is.
He is a Baldwin. He is one of the Baldwins,
but he may not have any siblings, and they're certainly not.
So next year is going to be that guy, the Spice
Prince. The Spice King, the Spice Prince, King. The Spice.
We can only hope.
The spice of your life.
I don't get what's happening in Karth.
It's really
Zero Zoan Daxos.
All of the Dothrakians are now dead. All of them.
The slaughter.
Everyone that we know.
Oh my
is
god!
Dead.
That's right.
The Dothraki are like.
Jiki
great
or
warriors.
Eri, the yeah. Dothraki handmaiden.
A rock's out,
dead.
Man. Yeah.
And the fucking dragons are on the basket of somebody that's.
Pyat Pri.
That wasn't Pyat Pri.
We don't know, but probably not.
We presume.
Why wouldn't it be?
Because you're not going to send your top man to do a recon gig.
He's not the top man, is he?
Yeah.
I mean, he already did.
He's one of the 13.
But, well.
He's a special man.
He's a warlock from the House of the Undying.
Yeah, it's not the word they use.
He invited her to come visit the House of the Undying. And it wasn't the Spice King because that's who she was visiting while the dragons were getting stolen. And it's not Zero Zoan Daxos.
He's too good for that. He's cool.
He's not, I mean, who knows what's up with that guy? He's not the character whose name he bears.
That dock worker?
He's a self-made man, we know that. Well, I don't understand what's happening.
Well, we'll know more next episode, right?
They really have got everybody who read the books guessing, which I think is kind of good.
Guessing or complaining?
Well, yeah. What are you doing? Are you complaining or are you guessing?
I'll bet this is as loyal a crowd or more geekier crowd than even the Lord of the Rings group, which is...
Really?
This is kind of an underdog show, in a way, because the books have been out since, what, 95 was the first one? Did the first one come out? 85?
94. Littlefinger.
Yeah, back to the... So,
he's just all over the place, isn't he?
He was doing a whole lot of... I mean, there was a lot of sly glancing, and he's looking...
Well, I didn't think they were going to make it overt that he recognized her, like they kind of...
No, he didn't recognize
her. They didn't.
Her.
No, well, I mean, he was doing tracing her all around the room.
He was
and
looking,
everything.
She was turning...
And then he's like... And the Stark... Lady Catelyn Stark had a proposal about her daughter.
He does... That's...
But he didn't say it in that... He didn't say it in a provocative manner.
I mean, if you just look at it... It does look like he totally kind of recognize him, but there's no way that that could be the case.
He ought not. They shouldn't have played that game.
They ought not have.
I mean, he's really been making the rounds. He's been all sorts of places he should never have been.
Littlefinger is bouncing all over the realm.
And he's never anywhere in the
And he's doing it. Who's he doing it for? He's doing it all on behalf of
You know what?
Tyrion, Littlefinger Enterprises.
Really? We're being well-read dicks right now, because any person who was watching the show who hadn't read the books probably would panic at that moment with Arya right then, just like, oh god, he's looking, he looked right, he turned, he even made a big deal out of it, he saw her,
yeah,
she's been recognized, oh.
I was gonna think, even if they didn't do that, that he slyly recognized her and added it to his power of knowledge.
And he would never make a big deal, you're right, but...
He would just hide it away for something he could use. That's what I'm.
But you would expect him to make a reference later, like, "Oh, the other daughter. I might know where she is."
Maybe like two or three episodes later. Yeah. You know?
So that's your impression is maybe that he's onto her, but he's just filing that one away. It's the kind of thing.
Sorry, I can't nod to the microphone. That's correct.
All right. So Littlefinger feels compelled to stop off and visit Lord Tywin on his way back to King's Landing, presumably to run a little scheme past Lord Tywin, get the okay from the big man. What do you think about allying with the Tyrells?
God, I wasn't even listening. I was too interested in what was going on in the room.
He's forwarding the plan of doing the Margaery Tyrell thing for now until they kind of get Stannis and all these other guys out of the way.
Well, the thing is, in the books, after Renly dies, Tyrion tells Littlefinger to go and treat with the Tyrells because they did not swear allegiance to Stannis. And he basically gives him leave to go offer Joffrey's hand to Margaery, right?
I don't know. I'm not caught up on the synopses.
I'm pretty sure that's accurate.
Did you glean anything from the synopses?
There's a lot of bat and cleanup as far as houses in the south and the north. There's a lot of... There's a part where...
Who begat who and...
There's a part where the Karstarks and the... What's the...
Karstarks are out.
What's the part that goes up towards Winterfell? It's White Harbor?
The Manderleys are out. The
Manderleys, White Harbor. There's also the Torrhen Square people. The... What's the northwest of that? The Big Forest.
Tall Hearts?
Yeah.
Glovers.
All those people.
No Storm's End. No River Run. If ever there was going to be an opportunity to establish River Run as a location.
No Storm's End? What about Edric Storm?
No Edric Storm.
No Edric Storm.
There is no Edric Storm.
That's really weird. That was an easy...
We had the Joffrey ordering the murdering of all of Robert's bastard spawn montage.
Didn't come up.
And so, presumably...
Montage.
Gendry is the only living heir that we are privy to.
It's true.
And, I would have thought if ever there was an opportunity to introduce River Run as a location, you know, Rob and his force, Rob Stark.
What a weird omission again. Just a weird, glaring thing to leave out.
It is weird and glaring because some of the characters involved have interesting roles to play. So we're up in the air about how some of those events from the books are going to unfold TV style.
We kind of got a weird preview of that, I think, for next week's episode where we get a weird little weird scene. I don't want to spoil maybe what it is, but there's a couple people talking in a cage about...
We got to finally the Kingslayer, Jaime Lannister, is back.
God, it's been a while.
What about Arya's little stealing the piece of paper from Lord Tywin's table?
Shit.
And then getting busted by Sir Aemory Lorch.
That scene ended up fucking awesome, I'll say right now.
It was pretty great, and it's totally off book, too.
Yeah. I mean,
it was an exciting thing. It's like, oh, fuck, Arya's going to get busted.
And the conclusion was... Oh, it was awesome. I really liked
it. When Aemory Lorch busts through that door, he's like, oh, Jake and Hagar didn't get to him in time, and then he just drops dead.
It was great.
With presumably a poison thing in his neck.
Yeah, so cool, so mysterious. That guy just, they didn't, it was better that they didn't show any of it. He's just like, I have to do it now. And then that, it was fantastic.
That was pretty great. It really was. Which, but I can't recall now how Sir Amory Lurch may have died in the books. Anyone?
Well.
Was she on her list? Did Jake and Agar kill Sir Amory Lurch?
I'm pretty sure.
Why can't we remember
I
this?
I think so.
It's depressing.
It was Wayne. Wayne is the head cook's name that was the first.
He killed the Tickler last week.
The Tickler was not the first person on Arya's list of death. But Sir Amory Lurch may have been number two. So it was really Wayne in the kitchens who was written out of the show. Sir Amory Lurch did not die because he was about to bust Arya for stealing a report from Lord Tywin.
But that was good drama.
But it was good drama. That was good TV. I'm okay. I guess I'm okay with that moment.
Well, she's still potentially in trouble because that missive is now gone missing.
Well, didn't he hold it in his hand? I don't know.
Yeah, but how did it get out of the room? It was right there.
Maybe he had it with him the whole time. Maybe he
wanted questionable,
to take it to his squire to teach him what it said.
Did he tell anyone else is what I was kind of wondering.
Because he already got berated for not knowing how to read 5 minutes earlier or whatever.
I like that Jake and Agar got on the ball.
Arya kind of, it's like, oh shit, I need to, give me a kill this guy now.
The mystery surrounding him, I think he's one of the best mysterious characters in the whole shoot and match so far. It's just, you don't really know anything about him, and you know he's just ultra powerful in a way, obviously.
I think it's pretty great casting and pretty great performance.
Likewise.
He's good.
That guy is good.
Are we done praising his awesome acting and good looks? Oh, wait. We weren't praising this.
I'm not done. No,
okay,
I'm done.
Go ahead. I mean, we haven't gotten to the...
Let's talk about this scene.
This major scene where we have huge. Marcella being sent off. And
yes. Let's talk about this scene.
Oh, this scene. Yeah.
We get to see Marcella is weepy. She's on the boat. Shipped off to Dorne. Bore to court a prince of Dorne for potential marriage and or to bind the House of Dorne and the House of Lannister together and perhaps...
And for safety.
For Marcella's safety because, as is evident shortly thereafter...
After a quick Cersei, I'm going to get your loved girl comment to
That was key. It was like, I hope you love someone someday. But what undercuts it is... Are we supposed to think that Tyrion's in love with Shay somehow? Because they haven't even been in the same room together for 3 episodes.
I don't think she was talking about anything. I think she was just being hateful and spiteful.
She was.
I think she kind of knows
Cersei
something.
Hates Tyrion. She hates him with the fiery passion that he does
reckless
not...
reckless aplomb?
Reckless aplomb. And he doesn't hate her that way. He doesn't like her, but he doesn't...
And hasn't that already
her
really...
Hate is complete.
That's already really happened to Tyrion anyway. Well, Cersei didn't get him, but...
Right.
His dad did.
Scarred him early.
With the hooker that his brother Tisha. Got for him.
Did he tell that story to...
He did last season. When
Bronn.
Bronn and Shay were in the... They were.
Oh, that's when he told that
Tisha?
Story.
Tisha?
When they were all Tisha? Kind of Tisha, tipsy.
Yeah.
Getting crunk.
It's a brutal story.
And then Joffrey starts walking down yonder way.
Joffrey gets a cow pie to the face, and he says, kill them all.
Tyrion knows early on. He can see the masses. He can see from their face.
He's the rumblings.
He gets Tommen to safety right away. I don't know exactly where they took Tommen.
They took him the opposite way of where they went.
If they had a safe direction to go, why didn't everyone go in that direction?
Because he said it about the people he was concerned about most.
I guess Tommen was just safer being separated from the crowd.
And also, he could slip away.
Cersei got out fairly easily. Cersei didn't ever seem threatened in that.
Seemed like she kind of didn't want to go, and then she was in front of Tyrion, and then he's like, go, you know, get out of here.
He even said, go get out of harm's way, and she never would have done that for him, ever. She would have been like, oh, keep going, it's fine, you'll be fine.
Tyrion was concerned for Sansa's safety.
Which is, yeah, that's not really... It's kind of like an after-the-fact deal, isn't it, in the book? Like, oh,
no, it was like this in the book, if I remember.
It was
the
pretty
Tyrion, told him to go back.
Poor Lawless.
Lawless Stokeworth was raped like 50 times.
By 50 men.
They were all on horseback in the book, right?
Look at this.
They were.
We're looking at a still of the priest's severed
priest's
leg.
Mutton chop.
Priest mutton.
There's some really good freeze frames in this
episode.
That's a hand,
but that's a huge arm right there.
Oh, that's the high priest. Or yeah. The high septon.
This high septon that was doing the prayer earlier.
Yeah. It may be his first scene in the series.
And last.
Giving Myrcella. Yeah, exactly.
They could have got a better arm than that.
Looks meaty to me.
Is it an arm or a leg?
That's an arm.
Well, look at the. He's holding the.
His fingers. Yeah, his fingers are on the left there, just hanging down.
The crowd really. They tore him apart, literally.
Quite literally.
And emotionally. First, emotionally.
Sansa wasn't in that much distress in this scene in the book, was she?
Oh, I thought you meant just in here. Until I was like, what? No. She
until
didn't.
The rape.
I don't think she almost got raped in the book.
Sansa wasn't that put off by the rape mob, was she?
She was put off.
I was starting to think that perhaps they had opted out of establishing any sort of fondness on the Hound's part for Sansa because it's gone mentioned for so long.
Here it was.
Well, they kind of did it. Didn't they do it last episode or two episodes where kind of puts the cape around her when Joffrey's beating her and having her beat up?
I think once he's ordered to.
Was that him? Because Tyrion. In the book, there was one of the guard that was much nicer to her than everyone else. In the book, there was one guy that Joffrey said, beat her in front of me, and he did it. First of all, he was like, do I need to? And Joffrey was like, are you kidding? Yes. So he beat her, but he beat her more easily.
Sir Meryn Trant and Sir Boros Blount
were dicks.
Pretty big dicks when it came to beating Sansa.
The person I can't remember, probably because
but
he was
one of them, I can't remember his name either because he wasn't cool. A big enough
and the dick. Hound, Joffrey never asked. He knew or whatever. He'd never asked him to take that approach or take that role with her. He just doesn't. The Hound is unique in this book to everyone.
But I'm glad that they established that, you know, the Hound
has a spot.
He saved Sansa, but he did it in a fairly brutal way. You know, it wasn't...
She had to witness some murder.
Yeah, the disemboweling of the first guy.
The evisceration.
There were some entrails being spilled.
That was...
I did like the, right before the disembowelment, the Tyrion's like, go get Sansa, and the guy's like, I don't take any orders from you, and so he looks at Joffrey, and Joffrey just kind of goes to wash the cow pie off.
Yeah, he's like, I don't give a fuck about Sansa.
I love how Tyrion really gives him the...
He smacks the shit out of him.
Yeah. Joffrey still, despite the fact that he... I mean, it was a highly emotional scene, but despite the fact that Joffrey can do all these horrible, horrible things to people and just order them to be done, sit and smile and love it, he still gets slapped by Tyrion and he's just like, meh, you know, just stops
him. Well, he was appropriately pathetic as the Hound was like cradling him through the crowd.
He was a little bit trying to get out of his grip, but he's like, I want them all killed. What are you doing? You know,
what's with this guy? He's like, they want the same for you. Corner too. From the Hound doesn't kill that guy.
I didn't notice.
There's one lucky guy who doesn't get murdered by the Hound. There's a gratuitous, really like shirt rip shot.
I thought for a moment that was going to be the extent of the nudity for this episode.
That was Lawless, yeah. They really just glossed over because it's not really an important plot point.
It may have, maybe, yeah.
I think the
we check IMDb and see if someone's credited as Lawless Stokeworth.
I think the High Septon getting ripped to pieces was more important than Lawless being raped, so.
Well, Lawless plays a role.
Well, I know, but yeah, there's just some things you...
Yeah, Lawless is written out of the show and there's no turning back.
Lucy Lawless?
Lucy Lawless Stokeworth.
So let's talk about the fallout to the attack, the regal attack, and the attempted maybe regicide. Even that was a great scene where they were all. Tyrion is very impassioned, saying, you know, just spelling it out the way it is, and just being like, it was his most convincingly emotional scene. So far as I'm concerned,
he got fired up. He was agitated. Tyrion doesn't often get agitated.
He doesn't. And he doesn't hate anyone, really, and he also doesn't get agitated. But that, for anyone who's really fought with their family in their life, they know that that scene was just like...
That is what? Psycho, idiot, idiot king? Or what words does he use?
He says, if Sansa dies, then will your uncle dies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you owe him a lot. Is he basically saying, or is he hinting at the fact that that's your father, you dumb piece of shit?
I thought so.
Maybe, yeah. But it was just, yeah, it's such a really, it seemed like for a minute, I really forgot I was watching a show. So I think that's,
yeah.
Well, that's what we're all here for, hoping that we can feel
that way. You got caught up in the energy and
the
excitement of what's going to happen to our King's Landing pals.
Yeah, I guess. Sounds pretty goofy when you say it.
It's going to be a spinoff show, King's Landing Pals.
King's Landing, like Knott's Landing, spinoff of Dallas. I'm going back too far.
No, King's Landing, Knott's Landing, I like the parallels.
If I knew the theme music, I could hum it. But
Lawless Stokeworth would be a major character in the spinoff show.
There was also no magic in this episode.
There's no magic in most episodes.
They've been coming at it, and then they backed off.
No Red Woman.
No Stannis.
There was dragon screeching from a basket.
Yeah, how much did they pay the CG artist for that? For what it sounded like infant children.
You don't need a CG artist for there to be magic.
Craig, do your Foley artist of the dragons in the basket.
Phil already did it, and this isn't it.
That's the raising of the portcullis.
Yeah, someday.
Spoiler.
It's hard to hear.
You just won an Emmy for that, I think.
Hope so.
Best Foley artist in a podcast. Robb Stark's army camp scene.
Where everyone was very approving of Robb Stark.
He walks through, pats people on the shoulders.
He's shaking hands, kissing babies.
Hands people approves, helms.
Approves of a helm. Approves of a helm. Yeah,
hey,
that's a good helm, man.
Hey, buddy. Take the helm. Mr. Sulu. Shit. You have the helm.
But I think there's a later Robb scene with after they get the message back from Winterfell, which is a little more pivotal to the story, where you know he wants to rush right up there and he says, you know, what can I do if I can't defend my own place? And
Roose Bolton is the voice of reason.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought I misheard when I watched the episode the other day. He actually does say, you know, that it's going to be his bastard. That's the guy he's going to go.
The bastard of Bolton,
which is kind of important for anyone who's read the book. But I mean, there's obviously no background in the actual episode, but.
And the whole circumstance surrounding Bran and Rickon and Osha escaping from Winterfell, completely new.
I was trying to remember what the original circumstances were, and since I haven't read that synopsis, I didn't. Do you?
I do remember. And it involved the Bastard of Bolton to some extent.
Are they escaping now, or are they...
They're gone. They're gone. And it was a little jarring to see the two direwolves just trotting out with them as they go. Because it's kind of like, oh yeah, where were the direwolves when Theon was taking the castle?
Why weren't they killing
that was 20 guys?
Killing 12 men.
That was addressed in the book.
It was addressed in the book.
Yeah.
But glossed over here.
They were thrown stakes with sedatives.
It's like, well, the problem is everyone forgets that the direwolves are there because they're not there. Until after the CGI artists are done rendering them.
So there's two.
There are two Stark boy offspring. Has one. Yeah. Bran and Rickon each have their own.
One is dead.
Shaggy Dog and Summer.
And I, you know, for all the things that they've sort of short shrifted and cut out of the TV show, they've done a great job of reminding us that Rickon is there. And Rickon is such a tertiary background character in the books.
So far,
through the first five books, I have to say they've, or I have to think that they've, well, reading the books, you can anticipate that Rickon is going to have a big moment later on. I mean, he's only like four when the story starts. But Rickon escapes at this point. And you just want, I mean, maybe even more than expecting it, but just you want, the Starks get shit on so much from the start of the story to this point and more. You want retribution. I mean, you crave Arya to get her revenge and kill all the people on their list. You want Jon to be heroic in a way that his father would be proud of him. You want Robb, the King of the North, to defeat the Lannisters. And you want Sansa to escape from Joffrey's clutches. And you want, and Bran is just so good and so sweet. But Rickon is, like, you know, depicted as a holy terror. Just
kind of running around, causing havoc, smashing walnuts on the table.
That's right. He's the wild one, and you just anticipate that wild energy being unleashed on the Stark's enemies when he's full grown. But anyway, so I imagine that the producers of the show, D.B. Weiss and David Benioff, having consulted with George R.R. Martin.
Knowledge.
In the same way that, like, J.K. Rowling with the Harry Potter movies.
They've treated with them,
and he has given them some insight into, because he's not done writing the books, so they have to say, well, can we write this character out? And he's like, oh, no.
That's a good point.
Something's going to happen with that guy.
Yep.
So, in a way, watching the show now and determining who gets written out and who doesn't get written out is almost a projection of who's going to be important in the last couple books.
I bet those sessions are actually grueling. Like, if they have to sit down and he's... I mean, not only is he going to have to talk about what he's already really written, but also what he intends to write, what he might write. He's going to have to go with a complete gut feel. And this is odd that you said that, because the future of the books is going... Well, might partially hinge on the show. Who knows? He may just go a completely different direction.
You're completely right. But I mean, at this point,
it should be a unified show.
Yeah.
At this point, the things that he does in the books, it maybe is partially beholden to what he's approved to be in the show.
It'll almost be a collaborative work going forward in a way.
I wonder if that's going to be the case, but...
if he's actually going to thaw it out all the way, you know?
No, because he's kind of gone on record as changing his mind about things and letting the story unfold in an organic way. You know, after he wrote the first book, he said there would be three. After he wrote the second book, he said there'd be like five.
And now there's seven going to be? Seven?
He's written five now. He says there's going to be two more. But four and five counted as one book, sort of. So, but I think he's sort of expanded the cast of characters as far as it's going to go, and from this point forward, I think he's gone on record as saying he's not going to introduce any new characters. He's just going to start killing them off and narrowing it down.
I'm glad to hear that he's not. It's
second Shakespeare reference. Just tragedy in general.
There can be only one character left.
Alas, poor Roderick.
Alas.
Oh, he really gets hacked. He gets his head kicked off in the end, too.
Yeah, the four swipes wasn't enough. You have to kind of stomp it off.
Get that last little bit.
Little bit.
Theon is just a fucking worthless leader.
And we all thought he was going to puke after that scene.
Theon's performance was strong in this episode.
Yeah.
They accurately depicted his...
He's desperate. His desperation. He's
not in control.
He's not even angry. He's not angry, but he's not completely influenced by...
He's not furious.
He doesn't want to do any of this bad shit he's doing. He talks big when he's looking right at
the maestro's a person. Like, the maestro's like, save this guy, and he looks right at...
Yeah.
He kind of looks
his
over...
His first mate, like, yeah. what should I do? Everything. And he sees a look, and he's like, all right, I'll kill him.
He's just pathetic.
Finchie's the one that gave him the idea to attack Winterfell.
And the final approval.
And Finchie's the one that made sure that he killed Sir Roderick.
You know who would be a better leader than Theon? Finchie.
Finchie!
He'd be a better salesman.
Bloody good salesman.
We'll see if Yara sends 500 troops.
This is my whole Foley kit only has this in it.
Lower the portcullis. All right, raise the portcullis. Slower.
Faster.
It's a corkscrew, really.
That's a fun Foley tip for you kids at home.
So what do we think is going to happen with, the whole John Ygritte thing? They're kind of off on their own now, which is completely...
I'll tell you what's going to happen.
Different.
Someone's aggressive spooning is
going to come through.
Pay dividends and...
Come through as blacks. Sorry.
Oh, we missed Osha's nude scene.
We didn't.
Well, we didn't miss it. We've been watching it.
Was she up to code?
Craig, you seem to think that we should have seen her nude about like 1,000 times before.
Well, no. Her nudity was telegraphed by her.
She's not always wearing
something that exposes so much flesh.
Right. She knows that what she has is a tool to be used to accomplish means, and I'm sure she can separate the act with the... What you get, what the means in the
end.
Well,
yeah, she's been living as a captive in Winterfell these many months, and she never once.
I guess what do we think about
seduced anyone to in an attempt to escape?
And then she did twice, real quick.
What do we think about her first?
But She did it to protect Bran and Rickon.
Well,
not herself.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, no, she wanted to get out of there too.
Well, yeah, with good reason. But she didn't get out of there on her own. She got out of there with Hodor and Bran and Rickon.
I think from a strict perspective, that they were a liability. She could have got out of there on her own.
But she didn't.
She had no intention of ever doing it by herself.
Says who?
She successfully slept with Theon. She may have felt that she could continue to manipulate him. He clearly evidenced the fact that he's malleable.
But pliable.
This goes not
ultimately powerful.
This goes along with what you said, actually. I'm going to back off what I said, because she said, I'll give you something, wink, if you give me...
For my freedom.
For my freedom. And he said, true. He was probably lying.
Serve me well. But I took from that, like, serve me well for a good long time and a good many times. Not like, okay... One quick bang and you're out of here.
Technically, she could say she earned her freedom, and while he was snoozing, she just left, and she also just happened to take a few people with her. No big deal. It was a big deal.
She had to...
And one she throat had to cut.
Cut an Iron Man's throat on the way out.
That's a big deal.
She cut Iron Man's throat?
Yeah.
You just spoiled the Avengers movie for about 20 people who didn't see it this past weekend. Sorry, Craig.
No, I was going to go on Wednesday, but now that I know that...
Iron Man gets his throat slit by OSHA. Now that I know that OSHA
slits Iron Man's throat, no reason to go see it.
No, there's lots of reasons to see it because it's awesome.
Oh, good.
In fact, if this were the off-season, we'd be podcasting the fuck out of Marvel superhero movies right now. But it ain't, so we won't. All right, we'll be back next week for episode 7. There's only 4 episodes left. Then we'll get into some off-season podcasting.
Yeah,
much more leisurely pace.
Highest of chance.